Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Thank you, Lily Mae. How are you guys doing? Wasn't that a good start? Yeah. Great to have family and visitors with us today. Doug brought his brother, Rob, and back from Calgary when he came back. So it's good to have family visiting in the place today and see others out there. I don't usually embarrass people, but it's good to see you here and good to have you in the place. Oh, I can't embarrass you? No. This is definitely Doug's brother. Yeah, there you go. He runs in the family, I guess. All right. Hey, we're going to take a look at this little sermon. In fact, I was going to start by just reminding you of this. So in December, I'm going to kick off a series in Matthew. So if you want to go to that first slide in my sermon, Micah, that one, I've got these Bible journals that are available, and a bunch of you have already signed up to order one after Thanksgiving. So after next weekend, I'm going to place the order, get them delivered, and then hand them out to you. But it's for December 1st. We're going to run probably, I have a feeling it's going to go through, at the present moment, it'll go from December 1st to June 1st. We're going to go into the book of Matthew, and we're going to look at the gospel life of Jesus, his teachings and such, and it's going to be a great study together. These little journals are basically, on one page is the text, on the other page it's blank. So you could use these to follow along, scribble notes as we walk through this study in Matthew, and this could be kind of a nice keepsake for you as a reminder of what we're doing. And there's three different kinds, because I like to give you a nice variety. And you could go check these out at the Connect Center afterwards, and if you want to order one, they're reasonable price. They're all, basically I made them all $10, and they're $9 or $9.50 or $10. I just made them all $10, and reasonable price, could even be a little Christmas stocking stuffer, you never know. Okay, so you can order those at the Connect Center after the service. We're kind of wrapping up. We started at Chili Chomp Sunday talking about how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And there's where God commands his blessing. There's just something about us working together, being together. And then we walked all through September talking about what does it look like to love like Jesus? What does it look like for us to connect to one another? And so that became our focus through September. And in many ways, this is a good segue out of that into this, again, this picture of unity. Because I think it would be nice for us to take a few minutes and talk about what is the unity of this church. What is it that draws us together? What is our central focus, and what are we trying to do? And so a little talk about the unity around a scripture that resonates so powerfully with me and with us here in this church. And to make it simple, I've got a little sheet. So if my helpers don't mind coming up, we're going to pass around a little pamphlet that is our vision document in a succinct form. And I'm going to walk you through this document in the way of a message today. And our vision, or what we're trying to do, is rooted in what Christ has done for us. It's rooted in what Christ has done for us and what he has for us. Our vision statement is centered around John 10, verse 10, which says, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." John 10, 10. This is just a powerful statement by Jesus as to his mission, as to what he was trying to accomplish. And it's what drives us as well. This idea that Jesus came, that we might have life and life to the full. Now, every good vision comes as the result of a problem. Every good vision comes out of the context of a problem. I buy my suits from Indochino Anyone ever bought a suit from Indochino? Two guys from Victoria, University of Victoria, two guys are studying, and they had to get a suit. And they were complaining about their figures and how hard it was to find a suit at, you know, the local store off the rack that would fit them. But they can't afford to go and buy some big fancy custom suit, and it was bugging them. You see, it's a problem. And when problems bug you and gnaw at you and eat at you, you tend to start thinking about what could you do about it. And these two realized, you know what, we could do something about that. And so one guy said, I'm studying business here at UVic. I got business skills. I got contacts. The other guy said, well, I'm from China, and I got lots of contacts there. We could build a factory. We could make a plant. We could manufacture clothes. And he said, let's do it. And so the two of them started this company called Indochino, where the average guy could get a custom tailor-made suit. And let me tell you, they did a good job, because when I bought my first suit, I went, wow, I never knew a suit was supposed to feel like this. It was fantastic. So we solve a problem. And if you look around, most companies' stories you're going to hear of people that started a company or doing some kind of thing or invented some kind of issue are trying to solve a problem. They're trying to fix something. And in our context, the problem was stated by Jesus in this text. Let's just look at the full statement of the text in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So the problem that Jesus deals with in this verse is there's somebody stealing and destroying. Been a bit of our theme even through worship and the prayer that you gave, Emmanuel. You mess with God, you mess with us, you mess with God. You know, there is somebody messing with us. It's the enemy, Satan. And he's been in a destructive pattern, and it's been going on for too long. We deal with far too many broken areas in our world. They are broken. In fact, I'm all for voting in the elections. You ought to get involved. You ought to vote. You ought to do your part, and you ought to speak up, and we ought to talk about what's right and what's wrong, and we need to be active. But you know that most politicians can't address the real issue. It's very difficult because the root issue is our brokenness and our sinfulness. And so a lot of the work that we try to do is to put Band-Aids on things. You know, I addictions and drug addictions and things like that have always been a very difficult thing to do. And how do you deal with those? You can't just put Band-Aids on them. You know, you can't, you know, we do things like safe injection sites and we try to accommodate things we're really just addressing symptoms and trying to address some of the bigger problems. We hope they don't die. They'll live a life addicted, but we hope they don't die. There's not much that can be done. And so people that invented things like AA and NA and stuff came from a Christian background who said the root issue is sin. The root issue is selfishness. The root issue is not acknowledging God. We need to start by acknowledging I have a problem and I need a higher power. And that's where the solutions come from, is acknowledging Jesus. We need that root issue in here to be addressed. And this is what Jesus saw when Jesus walked this earth. And they said to him, oh, are you going to get rid of the Romans? Are you going to do this? He goes, you guys don't understand. I'm going much bigger than that. I'm going much deeper than that. I'm going to address the root issue, which is our sinfulness, because the enemy is having a field day with us. You know, he said at one point, it's like sheep harassed. In this context, it was all about sheep too, how they, you know, the thief is coming among them and he's stealing and destroying. But the shepherd, he's the good shepherd, and he's going to set up a protection and he's going to set up a wall and he's going to know his sheep and he's going to look after them and he's going to do something wonderful for them. And he said, the thief, he just wants to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you would have life. And not just the fake life. There's something wonderful about this statement. Not just life as you are imagining it, but it's going to be life as he imagines it. Life as he designed it. I've often said that this is the root issue with humanity, is we're all living far below our God-given purpose. We're living far below our God-given design. And we substitute what God designed. So we substitute love and intimacy for sexuality, sexual pleasures. But really, the root issue we're trying to see is, where's that intimacy? Where's that sense of love? Where's that sense of belonging and connectedness? And we chase after the cheap excuses the enemy puts in front of us, and they never satisfy. They don't fulfill. And Jesus said, I want you to have life, but not life like everybody else is talking about it. I mean real life. Another version says abundant life. God grieves and he mourns the loss of what he intended for our humanity. He was broken over Sodom and Gomorrah. He wasn't angry like, oh, I'm just mad. He was broken over what was going on. When he deluded the world with a flood, it wasn't because he just was, you know, losing control, acting out of anger like he was losing control. It was because he was broken. It was like, this brokenness has got to be addressed. And every time he seeks to try to deal with it, man vaults up again with more brokenness and throws it in the face of God. But God is relentless. Forget the fire and brimstone. Forget the flood. Forget the Tower of Babel. Forget those issues that keep coming back and over again. God keeps reaching out saying, I will not abandon you. I'm going to find a way. And he sends his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, I have come. And we're going to get this fixed. We're going to get this done. This devastation that goes around all over the place. Our world right now is begging for a solution. Begging for a solution. The fights, the wars, there's no way to logically fix it. It's a heart change. It's a restoration to God in his ways. In our humanity, in sinfulness, brokenness has become the everyday part of our world. And it's not pretty. Lions used to lay down with lambs. Now they rip into a herd and they tear it apart. That was not how God designed it. And that's not how it's going to be in the end. A lion will lay down again with a lamb. God will restore all things. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, because he's got a solution for us. To a troubled woman on the fringe of society that was there at the well after all the other ladies had come, and she was there. Her life's not going well. Working on her fifth marriage right now. Like, it's not going well. She meets Jesus, and Jesus reaches out to her and says, if you were to talk to me and ask me for a drink, I would give you water that you would never thirst again. What? What is that? See, when Jesus says, I've come that you might have abundant life, real life, he gives us lots of clues and hints and examples as he teaches and as he walks. It's a life, it's a water that you could drink that you would never thirst again. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. I think I'd be very interested in that. One time he was in the temple area in Jerusalem, and they're having the big festival where the priests get a little cup of water and they parade through the city and they parade up the steps of the temple, and then they pour the water onto this thing and it cascades down. Just a little bit of water cascades down, and they're like all celebrating that God is the provider of water. Right? God is the giver of life. And Jesus, you know, like, hey, I didn't come to give you a little trickle that pours over a temple. And in the middle of that, he stands up and he says, hey, everybody. I mean, and they all turn like, what are you? If you follow me, I will give you a river of living water that will come from your innermost being. It was a bold statement. Guys, what do you want? Do you want this kind of life, or do you want a river of living water that flows from your innermost being that no disease, no situation on this earth could ever stop? So Jesus keeps over and over again telling us about this amazing, abundant life that he wants to bring to us. Our vision is not to be a bunch of salesmen who are going to go and peddle this abundant life. Whether we use the product or not, my dad was a salesman. He was good at it. He would sell stuff, you know, stuff would come up. Oh, I'm going to sell that. He worked his last a few years at the Home Hardware store, and everybody knew my dad. They come in, and dad always knew just what to get them. Oh,
I know exactly what you need. And he sold so much product for that store. He was a good salesman. But you know what? This isn't about selling products. This is about one really happy customer telling another client where they could find that solution too. This is what we're talking about. We've been transformed by Jesus. That's why our why, if you go to this next slide, I think it is, the why statement that's in that little brochure, is we have the problem issue, right? We have been transformed by Jesus. We've been brought together by the Spirit to bring Jesus to others so they can come fully alive. Right? I didn't articulate all the problem in there. It's kind of assumed in there that we have been transformed. From what? From the wretchedness of sin. We've been transformed, and we would long and love for others to be transformed as well. So God has put us together, this group that we call Lighthouse Church. He's put us together so that together we can bring him to others so they also could come to fullness of life. That's the why. That's the ultimate of what we're doing. But what are we? Well, there are many names for who or what we are. We're believers. We're followers of Jesus. We're Christians. We're born again. Some would call us Jesus freaks. That's back when I was a kid. You're one of those Jesus freaks, aren't you? Some people will maybe call us righteous bigots, or I don't know. We're those self-righteous kind of people. I mean, we'll get labeled all kinds of issues of what we are, what we appear to be, what people say. But who are we? Well, there's one word that we like to land on, and it's the word disciple. Disciple. We are disciples. That's the word. And that comes to us right from that Great Commission in Matthew 28 when Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. So what he was looking for was disciples. So if you were to see the church, as an organization or as a company, and you'd say, hey, what does that church offer? What does that church do? What's the product of this church? The product of this church, you could say, is a disciple. That this church produces disciples. Now, nothing ever is simple when it comes to the church because it's a spiritual organization. And all of our worldly, fleshly kind of paradigms don't never fit perfectly. But I think you get the idea what I'm saying, right? What do you make? If I want to go to Watkins Products, I know Watkins makes liniment. They make a beautiful liniment and a medicated ointment, and that was the bread and butter. Amway, it was their laundry soap, I think it was the starting thing, right? And then there's 100 other products they made. But there was always that product that you became known for. That's what they make, right? And what does Gorilla make? Sticky things. Yeah, glue. You know, they have a product. Now, of course, they have 20 other products, but what's their product? It's a sticky tape that's going to hold, right? So there's a product that you associate with something. What do you associate with a church? It should be disciples. It should be disciples. Go to the next slide there, Micah. It's important to us. It's vital in connecting us to the fullness of life that Jesus has for us. Fullness of life is more like a subscription than a product, right? Years ago, I bought Microsoft Word, and I forget what it was, $300 or something like that. We buy a product, right? You install it on your computer, and you type away, and it was great, wonderful. Look at this. Look what I can do with this Microsoft Word. I can tab, I can indent, you know, and then I could go back and erase it. I mean, that was pretty amazing because not long before that, I had an IBM Selectric, and when we had to go back, it was sticky. It was, you know, white out stuff and go back and roll it, get the right spot and retype. It never looked good. And then you got Microsoft Word on a computer. Wow, this is amazing. And you're typing, right, until years go by and someone else is going, oh, well, don't you do this? My software can't do that. Pretty soon that software just isn't cutting it anymore. It just doesn't look right. And so Microsoft says, well, you should buy our new product, 2.0. And you keep going down this line of chasing these upgrades all the time. And they finally came around to the idea that, why don't we just sell a subscription? You just pay a monthly fee, and we'll just keep updating you as we go along, so that enjoyment of using the product, a solution's always there waiting for you when you go, oh, I wonder if it could do this. Oh, it can do that now. Look, isn't that cool? And that's a subscription. And in our fullness of life in Christ is not so much like a product that we get. We, oh, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and fill me with your love. And we receive his love, and the joy of the Lord is there. And we have this abundant life, and we walk around, you know, clicking our heels and singing in the rain and all that stuff. And we're just, life is good. And then all of a sudden, you know, a couple of weeks go by, and it doesn't seem quite as strong. It always bothers me that someone could be saved 25 years in Jesus, and they look like they were baptized in lemon juice, right? You know what I mean? Like, they just, oh, I'm a Christian. And I'm like, did you ever have the joy of the Lord? Did you ever, like, fullness of life, he said. Where's that fullness of life? How is it that someone could be saved so long and then suddenly not, looks like, they just don't look like they're having, enjoying life anymore? Like, Jesus didn't mean for you to get a product and 20 years later wonder where it went. He meant for you to sign up for a way of living that will continue you in the fullness of life. That way of living is called discipleship. It's called discipleship. Okay? What is a disciple? Go to the next slide there, Mike. We have a definition. A disciple is one who listens to and obeys Jesus in the power of the Spirit. And I would say this, as long as you're listening to and obeying Jesus in the power of the Spirit, you're going to stay connected to him, and the fullness of life is readily available into your life, regardless of your circumstances. You stop obeying, you stop listening to Jesus, and you start to disconnect from that presence of life. I'm not talking about whether you're going to get to heaven or not. That's a different question. But I can tell you this, that fullness of life is meant to be shared in the connection you have with Jesus. And the way we maintain that connection is by listening to him and obeying him and building a life with him. That's what discipleship is. It's very simple. Just keep listening to and obeying Jesus in the power of the Spirit. Do this all the time. That's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to help people understand what it means to be a disciple. So all of this, this desire in our heart to want to see people become disciples, to see people lean into this practice of listening to and obeying Jesus in the power of the Spirit, is what we want to do. That's what we're gathered together to say, how can we make disciples? Jesus told us, go make disciples. That's the mission. We don't get much choice on that. The mission of every church is the same. Go and make disciples until he comes back, right? Go and make disciples. So that's what we're going to go do. What is a disciple? Well, we know what it is. Someone who listens to and obeys Jesus. And for us, it's driven by not just an obligation, but it's based on a transformation that we have received, that this is not just this is an amazing thing. Life is a gift, and it's wonderful. This is what we're going to share with you. So we need to make some commitments to do this. We need to have to do some things in order to keep pressing into this area. And so I wrote out for you guys three commitments. Okay? These are three commitments we make as a church, as a collective body, as a leadership team, as a pastor, and as a board. We want to be committed to these three things. We are committed, number one, to making disciples. We are committed to making disciples. Okay? It's a fitting statement. It's a no-brainer, right? Making disciples, we just said, was the mission of the church, right? But in this case, I'm thinking about our commitment to you as part of this church and our need to help you with your discipleship. So in this first one, I'm talking about you. You are not just the team member who's helping us to accomplish the mission, but you're also one of our clients. It's always one of the weirdest things in church for me is that you are both my employee and my customer, right? In any kind of condition. Like if I was even running the Canadian Blood Bank Society and I got you as a volunteer, you'd be my volunteer. You're not my client. You're my volunteer. So if you're not doing your job, I just fire you. See you later. You're not helping us. We need to collect blood because people need blood and you're screwing it up. So no, sorry, you're gone. You just get rid of them. And there are so many times when pastors feel like, I just want to tell you, please leave. But then Jesus says, but they're your client. They're your customer. They're the ones you're supposed to love. And I, you know, I'm trying to get something done, and then you keep crying for more. And I'm like, you know, so it gets confusing sometimes, right? Because you are the client. You are the one that God has told me to love and equip and encourage. And so I want to help you in your discipleship. But I'm also pointed out to the world and making disciples out there. And so you're kind of torn because you're going to help me go out there and make disciples. But I also have to make a commitment, first of all, a commitment that we make to you, that we want to help you become a disciple, a better disciple. We want to help you to live into your discipleship, right? So I'm talking to you right now, okay? And to do this, I put a little tagline that's on there. And the word, the reason it did, because when I think about making disciples, that's kind of what we want to do as a church. But I have to turn around and put myself in your perspective as a client, as a person coming to church going, okay, I'm going to this church. What's in it for me? Okay, and I know we often preach against that kind of self-centered talk, but that's the reality. You did come to this church, and you are here, and you are looking for something, and you do need something. And here's what you need. You need some help with growing. So I'm going to use the word grow. You want to grow. You need to grow. That's a big part of your discipleship, is a commitment to growth. That growth is listening to and obeying Jesus and the power of the Spirit. How can I do it better? How can I listen better? How can I obey better? How can I overcome hurdles? And how can I overcome difficulties? And I'm listening, but I need to know more. And so we want to sustain, we want you to find growth. We want you to pursue that passion. We have a course, actually, that we developed, right? It's called Rhythms of Life. And that Rhythms of Life was designed around this very question. If I want to stay in the fullness of life that Jesus offers me, how do I need to shape my life? And we never, ever, ever misunderstand. You cannot manufacture fullness of life. That is a gift from God. It will always be a gift from God. You will never own it. A river of living water shall flow from your innermost being, but that river flows directly from the Spirit, not from you. You don't manufacture it, okay? That's important to know. We understand that distinction, but there is a way that you can shape your life and organize yourself, disciplines that you can put into your life that will help you to stay rooted in that fullness of life, because your self-centeredness is always pulling you out. The enemy is always pulling you out. Right, this world is always trying to tear it apart, and so you're constantly, you know, trying to stay balanced. You're like that little game with the two wheels and the marble that has to go along the path, and it's just frustrating as all get out because it's a round ball and it wants to go all over the place, and it's so difficult to actually keep it where it needs to go. If you ever played that game, it's extremely frustrating. It's a little bit like that in our discipleship. I know where I want to go, but why is it that I keep falling this way and that way, going all over the place? I need to find some way to keep going the right direction. These kinds of disciplines we can build in our life are what we need to do. Rhythms of Life was designed around helping us with that area of growing. You need to love like Jesus. You need to live like Jesus. You need to lead like Jesus, right? There's a particular way that I framed this commitment, and I use the words in there, we commit to equipping, inspiring, and resourcing your growth. We're committed to that. And again, I'm switching gears again. The client, you, want to grow. What can we do as a church? I've come to this recognition that really the church can't do anything. In fact, go to the next screen. I have a little quote that I wrote down there. A quote. It's a statement I made. You can quote me, I guess, is what it could be. The work of ministry centers on disciples. The only thing a church, I put in quotes, can do is equip, resource, and inspire. Okay. We often say, well, the church should do this. The church let me down. The church isn't caring. The church isn't reaching people for Jesus. We often use that word, but when we say the word church, what do we mean? Right? It's very tricky because we often think it's my way of saying someone else should do that. Oftentimes, we could substitute the word, the pastor isn't doing this. The pastor isn't doing that. But I recognize this, that all of the things that we're called to do as disciples, caring, loving, helping, serving, preaching, these are things that are done by disciples. Disciples care. Disciples bring Jesus to others. Disciples love one another. Disciples do the work. The organized church can't take over your responsibility, but collectively, the leadership and collectively together, what we can do is equip, resource, and inspire. So on that sense, I have two roles. I'm a Christian, and as a Christian, I got to talk to my neighbors. I got to see about bringing Jesus to them. I've got to institute disciplines. I have to read my Bible and pray and be caring and loving. I got to do all the things. I'm a disciple just like you. I am your brother in Christ, right? I'm not up here different than you. I'm here. I'm one of you. I'm trying to figure these things out. But I also have now a calling from God and a mandate to teach and equip. And so in that mandate, I recognize my job isn't to take over your job, but my job is to equip, resource, and inspire. This is the Ephesians 4 stuff, right? God gave gifts of leaders for the equipping of the saints for the working of the ministry. So this is what we're trying to do. So I use those words very intentionally because I came to this realization through after decades of pastoring that the only three things that we could really do is equip, resource, and inspire. That's what we have to be committed to doing. And that's what we want to do. We want to commit to that. So we commit to your growth in discipleship. Our goals are very growth-oriented. We mentioned earlier about our goal to this year see strong, you as disciples confident and strong in a very crazy culture where the traditional values that we have grown up with, that we espouse in the Bible, are being constantly attacked. We're being called all kinds of names. I won't even go into them. We've been called all kinds of names because of simply taking a stand for a biblical value. And we need to learn how to take a stand in this culture and be confident in what we believe. At the same time, being kind and loving. Right? That's tricky. And so we thought, this actually is going to take a little effort and a little bit of work. So this year, we're committed to equipping, resourcing, inspiring you in your discipleship, particularly to how to stand confident in this culture where the traditions are being lost that we have always enjoyed. So that's one of our goals. So that's how we're doing it. The Rhythms of Life is a course we created in order to equip you, to help resource you so that you can do this. We often have great books that are very helpful. I picked up this book called Focus on the Family. And if you don't subscribe to Focus on the Family and you're a parent or something, you should. In fact, even just as a married couple, it's good. But becoming a screen-savvy family, right? One of the biggest issues facing our generation is what to do with this technology. What to do with screens, right? The guy who wrote, he's not a Christian, but the guy who wrote Anxious Generation links the anxiety and troubles of our teenagers today and our young adults to their screen time. Not just like a direct sort of challenge that this is causing the anxious generation. So parents, you got to get a hold of this. That's part of your discipleship to grow in Christ is to learn how to do what he asked you to do, loving others. And so I, as a commitment for me, if I see a really good book, I'm thinking, boy, how could I make this available to you? So anyone wants to look at this, you can borrow that. And when you've looked it over, bring it back, we'll pass it around. And that's how we can work together to resource one another, right? Some great stuff that we can do. The second area, and I'll spend a lot less time on this, which is we are committed to building authentic community. Because I just spent the whole month of September talking about loving like Jesus because he wants us to come together. He needs us to be together, to work together. And so we're committed to what can we do to help you. In this case, we want to equip, inspire, and resource you to make the connections that you do. But once again, as I said, I think the last couple of weeks, I can't make your friends for you. I can't even necessarily make you join a group, a small group. You have to figure that out. I'm just asking the question, what could I do to resource you? What could I do to encourage you? What could I do to equip you? How could we encourage you? So we're working on our website that will have all of our small groups available. And at any time, if you say, well, I'd like to be connected, I can say, well, good. We have a list of 12 right here. Take a look. You can see where they're at. And if you want to make a connection, you can do that. We have coffee after every service, right? Not because of selfish reasons that you love to have coffee, but because I need to create a space where you can connect with other people. And coffee creates the space and a cookie. It's important. And so we can keep resourcing you and encouraging you to make connections. And I use the word in there within community, connect, because that's the active word that you as a client, you as one of our church members, you need to connect with people. So how can I help you connect with people? How can I help you grow? And how can we resource and encourage and inspire you to connect with other people as Jesus would have you do that? So that's what we want to do. John was pretty clear in his writings that we cannot hope to enjoy the abundant life. I've come that you might have life and life to the fullest. If you disregard your brothers and sisters, it will not go well with you. We just did communion, and the one thing he said is, you disrespect the body of Christ. That is why some among you are sick and some have even died. This body is very important to Jesus, and he didn't mean his body. He meant the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, when you ignore each other, when you don't help each other, encourage each other, when you're not connecting to one another, you're basically cutting off that abundant life of Jesus. John was clear in it in his letters as well. You just can't hope to enjoy the real life that Jesus offers and disconnect yourself from other people. It won't happen. It just won't happen. So if you've been struggling and you weren't sure why, I can tell you that's definitely going to be part of the question, part of the equation. And the third and last commitment that we were making is we're committed to the mission of God. So we come back to this idea of discipleship. But last time in growing, I talked about how it's you I'm focused on, or anyone who steps into this church. But in this case, I'm talking the mission of God, which is to go and make disciples. We're talking about serving the mission of God. We're talking about what has God equipped you with that you could serve God, right? There's two things I can guarantee you. So you want to be more and more in the image of Christ, right? That's the goal of the disciples, to be looking like Jesus. But I can guarantee you a couple things in your growth. One, you will not attain to the image of Christ in your lifespan. I don't know, does that disappoint any of you? Did any of you have an anticipation that maybe some of you thought you already have arrived? No? Yeah, okay, it seems like, is this make it a futile thing? I mean, if I'm never going to attain the image of Christ, then why bother? I'll tell you why you bother, because it is the process that releases the fullness of life. Not the attaining of it. The process of it is what releases the fullness of life. So you're not going to attain it, which means I think there must be something more on this earth than just becoming looking like Christ. Because if that was the only issue, then Jesus would just come back right now and we would go off into eternity and be changed. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that when we die, this mortal being with all its brokenness and selfishness dies in the ground, and in the resurrection we're reborn with a brand new body that is free of corruption. So in death you are set free. And maybe if Jesus comes back, it says when he comes in the clouds to collect his own, and he calls us up out of the earth, and we shoot up into the air to be with Jesus, it says in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. So even if we don't go through the process of dying on this earth, when we go to be with Jesus in heaven, we are instantly transformed, changed in the twinkling of an eye. So we have that to look forward to. We will be transformed when Jesus comes back. We won't attain it in our lifetime, but we're gonna love the process. We're going to love the process. And the second thing I can guarantee you is you will not be able to look like Jesus until you engage in the passion for the lost and in bringing him to others. You will not look like Jesus if you ignore the mission. You'll get stalled out. You will hit a brick wall and get what we call stuck. And that's where you start to lose the fullness of life. You start to become that cranky old Christian who's going through the motions and going, what's going on here? I can ask you this question. Are you about the Father's business? Are you reaching the lost? Do you have a passion for them? Without that, you can't understand the fullness of Christ because God's passion was for the lost. For God so loved the world, he sent his only son into this world that whoever believes on him shall be saved. God is reconciling the world to himself. The Bible says God is not slow in keeping his promise to come back, but he's patient because he doesn't want anyone to perish. This is the heart of God. And if we want to be like Jesus and really know that fullness of life he offers to us, we got to come with them in the mission. So we've got to bring ourselves to do the work of the Lord, the serving of the Lord. And so the word serve is what we're using because it's just basically taking all the talents and gifts and things that God has given you and saying, here I am, Lord, use me, send me. Here I am, Lord, I offer it to you, everything. I bring it to you. Life that pursues happiness as its primary goal will fail miserably. But as Jesus said very clearly, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. I think I have this scripture up there, Mike, if you want to pop this one up. You will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Okay, this is the fullness of life. If you want to find the fullness of life and you chase it yourself, you will lose it. You will be worse off than you were before. But if you let go and you receive Jesus and you say, I will commit to him, I'll pick up my cross, I'll join you, Jesus, there, then you will find it. You will find it. The fullness of life will be released in you. There's no greater joy than serving the Lord. He says, no one has given up anything that he isn't going to put back into you 100 times in this life and the life to come. And I can state that. I dedicated myself to ministry, and I just let go of everything else. I let go of making money. Making money is meaningless to me. I say, that's not my purpose in life. I praise God for people that are business people and entrepreneurs and people that invest and make money. I think it's fantastic. You serve God with your gifts. I've dedicated myself to serving God this way, and I let go of all those things. But I've never lost anything. Every time I think I've given something up, I realize I've got the joy of the Lord. He's blessed me beyond measure. I will have zero complaints when I get to heaven. Because I just said, Lord, I'll serve you. And you can't outserve God. He just keeps blessing back. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So we're going to close with a song. The worship team is going to come back up. And we're going to close with a song of dedication. Right? Because we got these three commitments, and I'm not going to go into the values today. I'll leave them for you to look over, right? Values are those, values are like the banks of a river. A river's flowing, but the values keep it in a certain direction, why it flows the way it does. It wants to go this way, but the banks say, no, go that way. And values are those things that, why do we look the way we do? Why do we do it the way we do it? Why do we approach things the way we do? It's because of those values that we have that keep us going. So you can look those over. But I just want to challenge you to that question. Will you serve Jesus? Will you commit to being a follower of God? Will you commit to your discipleship? And I guess I'm saying, will you commit to doing it together with us? That together we can address the problem the thief is doing, and we can be like Jesus, furthering his mission, and say, Lord, we, for such a time as this, we are going to come, that they, those people that are hurting right now all around us, they will find fullness of life. That's what we want to do. I don't have even an ounce of the answers that are needed. There's so many things we got to figure out, it isn't funny. But I just think if we would just say, Lord, here I am, God will take care of it. He'll figure it all out. We'll just keep surrendering it over to Jesus and see what he does. Lord, help us to be your disciples. Help us, Lord God, to get straight in our head these issues that we struggle with, Lord. Guide us out of our selfishness too, Lord, so that it isn't just about what the church can do for me, but, Lord, that we would learn what it means for us to be the church and what we can do to further your mission. that we can live into that fullness of life, Lord God. And we can invite others to come in and join with us and enjoy it as well. So we thank you for this, Jesus. Work in our hearts, work in our leadership, work in our context of our community so that we can continue to be the church that glorifies your name. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.